Blog Talk Radio.
Från Sverige och jag älskar min straightway-stam och mina systrar.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel.
Ani Ivriam Israel. Ohevet et shevet straightway ve'achyotai.
Trinidad.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico. Y amo a la tribu de Straightway, y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babae.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Shalom and greetings. Welcome to another live show. I have Mother Carol with me tonight. Let's kick it off. Let's get right on into it. May 19th is Pentecost, 31 days from now. Remember, there's no be a blessing. We're not asking you to send us anything. We are going to supply everything, and may the Most High Yah be our provider. Mother Carol is to my left. I hope you can hear her. Let's get a sound check on us both. I know it's same mic, but y'all got to hear her voice and hear her shalom. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for the tens. Bless y'all.
Shalom, shalom to all the daughters of Israel. May Yah continue to enrich you and bless your souls and your households that you are in, and may the Father continue to move upon the man of Yah to lead us and teach us in the ways of the Most High. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Hey, I wrote down the dates. I'm not going to always give us the countdown this far out, but it's 152 days until Tabernacles. So that's, I don't know, almost half a year, you know. So it's going to be a lot of production, a lot of labor, lots happening and going on. It's really hot here already. We've shoveled a lot of compost, a lot of manure. I got the pressure wash. Mother Carol, Pastor Dow's house. I like to use the pressure washer, so I pressure wash porches. That's what I do. Or pressure wash rugs and carpets and whatever the sisters may need, and you know, mold and mildew off of the walls. So I was able to do that. You know, the greenhouse is busy, Carolina and Salah, planting seed. I mean, just hundreds of things that go in the ground. We're going to be planting outside this first day, outside, out from under the protection of the greenhouse. So we got a lot to plant, and still just the continual daily function of refrigerators, freezers, chicken eggs, and goat milk. You know, it's just a farm. It is what it is. It's enjoyable. It's life. It's our commitment, and it's what we love. So we're going to keep doing what we're doing this season as the heat rises and the birds start chirping. It is a beautiful place to be. The green is coming back. Mother Carol, 19 days till Pentecost. Do you want to add something specifically about Pentecost, or do you have any announcements?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we haven't heard from too many of you for Pentecost, so if you are coming, I think we've heard from about 48 people that are on the list so far, and granted, I know that it's just a very short feast, but even if you're coming for just one day, please let us know so that we can go ahead and start on our logistical side of it. We want to make sure that we can welcome you, that we have proper food, proper arrangements, everything that we need to make your Feast of Pentecost enjoyable, but also making sure that we are ready spiritually to receive you as well. So please just let us know if you're coming, even if it's only for the day. We do need your numbers, please.
Hallelujah. Question in the chat says, is Pentecost service on 7th evening or first day morning? It is typically 11 a.m. on yes. Pentecost Day. That is our Pentecost service. If that changes, I hope that I'm aware in enough time to give you that information, or perhaps you'll hear it even from Pastor Dow. Are you ready to get started tonight on our conversation that I hope always edifies the listeners?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
You ready? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, first of all, tonight I would like to talk about the fragmented mind. I would like to talk about how to pick up the pieces of your fragmented mind and how to be restored mentally, focusing in on the fragments of your soul, because your mind is a part of the soul, okay? So just going to, I came up here early, you know, maybe a little over an hour or so ago. I always say up here because it's up on the mountaintop, on the top of this hill, I guess you could say, that we're at. Inside the Tabernacle Sound Room. So I came up 1 hour early, and these were my thoughts. So Mother Carol also has some thoughts that she reflected on through the week that I believe is going to gel together really well for conversation. So thank you again to everyone listening, and you know, just bowing your ear to even hear our voices is very, very humbling to me. And Mother Carol, would you like to just start off by sharing any of your thoughts this week? Even if it doesn't pertain to a fragmented soul, even anything that you even meditated on, anything you read, something you looked at, just, you know, feel free.
Well, actually, I've been meditating a lot this week on stumbling back into the world, mostly in the mind, and I know that it can be very easy to slip back into certain things, and I do see how keeping your mind stayed upon the Most High is a deterrence for that, but I do want us to talk about it more, about, you know, being in the world and not of the world, because we do have to live in this place, but to be honest, it should be detestable to fall back and anything that is contrary to the Most High. Not saying that we shouldn't live. Yes, we should live and enjoy things and things like that, as long as they're not contrary to the word. I get that, but I'm just talking about the mind that is not being renewed, or the mind that is has more downtime on not Yah than on Yah. I think that affects the soul, that affects how you are. It affects your character and your nature and your spirit. And I wanted to read a quote that I was looking through, it's actually from Marcus Aurelius, you know, an old Roman Stoic. However, the quote just really had me thinking about the mind all week and about thoughts. So I'm going to read that quote real quick. And it's concerning the quality of your mind. It says, the things you think about determine the quality of your mind. Your soul takes on the color of your thoughts. So I was thinking about, you know, different colors and how your thoughts can become black, mm-hmm. how your thoughts can become enraged, which is, we know, like red. So it kind of really had me thinking about the quality of your life and your mind according to what you think on. And so I know we're going to talk some about that because most, especially women in our society's minds have been fragmented in so many different pieces, it's hard to really just pull together and see quality in what you think. So, Sister Ashley, go ahead.
I think that's a good way to start, Mother. Thank you. Your thoughts, you are the reflection of them. You are the reflection of them, what you do. What you don't do, you are the reflection. I thought to myself, how could I explain to anyone who doesn't understand that your mind could be fragmented? And obviously the only place that we could explain that is by going to the Word. And so I pulled up the verses that I want to share with you that explain that your mind or your soul can be fragmented, okay? According to the Greek word 2801, fragment, broken piece. That's what the word fragment means, a broken piece. Okay, so a broken piece of your mind. So number one, you acknowledge that your mind is broken, wavering, wanting, desperate, you know, unsure, uncertain, unstable. That's the fragments and the pieces. Job said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Again, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? That's one proof text that your soul can be broken and vexed and that words can do it. Words have absolute power to sway your mind into pieces. Psalm 7:2, my favorite for the night, says, unless he, speaking even of Hasatan and the enemy of our soul, unless he tear my soul like a lion. Proof text that your soul can be torn, once again, or broken. Your mind can be torn. Psalm 7:2, this is the same verse, I'm just starting over. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces. Okay, and the last part of that very verse says, while there is none to deliver. So the desire would be that Satan would not tear my soul like a lion and rend it into pieces when there is no one to deliver me, which I now introduce the powerful point of deliverance that can directly affect how we think. That is instantaneously the fruit of deliverance is different thinking. All right? So, go.
Real quick, Ashley, you know, how women probably want to know how you get to a point where you are fragmented. How does your mind get so broken in pieces?
Okay.
Our mind, our will,
yes.
Our what?
Emotions. Yes.
Emotions are the trigger, I think, to allow the fragmentation to come about. If that's the weaker link,
yes,
then that's where the fragmentation can come in, because relationships can cause fragmentation, brokenness of the mind, vexation of the mind, breaks you in pieces. Most women that have been in relationships and it ended badly end up fragmented because their love is pushed one way and then emotion causes a different thought and a different feeling.
Right.
And trying to mend all of that, get all of that in a godly way, either done away with or put in proper perspective, and that will help restore that mind to where it is. So I think a lot of it stems from emotion, because we are creatures of emotion, and relationships and loves and hurts and pains and all of these things are usually come through the way of emotion.
Emotions are the steering wheel.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
That's a good way to put it.
And let's go even further than that. You'll hear me clearing my throat every once in a while. Just had a tickle this week. So, forbidden practices within Israel, I wrote some of them down, because your people before you practiced sin, knowingly or unknowingly, and according to the law and the commandments of the Father, the Most High, he said he would deposit iniquity into you because you're a child of those who hated him. His love and mercy comes full circle through the blood of the Messiah and Jesus the Christ, where you can be restored. Your soul and your mind can be restored back into the Father, even from their sin and actions, if you will love him and diligently seek him. But let's start back at the top and say, what are some of those forbidden practices that, whether you're aware of or not, this is what people of the earth did generation after generation, though the manifestation of sin is different on the earth, perhaps now, visually, than it was 50 to 100 to hundreds of years ago. It's all the same. It's forbidden. Consuming blood is forbidden. Eating unclean according to dietary laws is forbidden. There's a list of sexual immoralities that are forbidden. Consulting familiar spirits, witches and wizards, and any occult thing, that's forbidden. To murder someone or to harbor hate towards someone in your heart, whoever you may hate, that's forbidden. Defiling the Sabbath day, that's forbidden. And to continue in the ways of the Gentile and to learn not the ways, that's what we're told to do, is learn not the ways of the heathen, and obviously to worship strange gods. These things seemingly don't impact you on a day-to-day basis when you're going to and fro from your jobs or your home life. You're not even pondering or possibly even considering the sins of your ancestors, but the iniquity of these things committed by them was deposited into us. And it continued a pattern that now can be manifest in your flesh. So you could have what the word says, works of the flesh in Galatians 5. You could have adultery and fornication. You could have uncleanness. You could have ill will in your heart, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and violence, emulation towards one another, wrath, strife. You can have all these things in your flesh because you're continuing a pattern from someone else's disobedience, now making yourself as guilty. So, of course, we need the blood of the Father. We need the saving power of Jesus Christ. And it is very obvious in this day and time that many antichrists have come. And the blood is the protection against the enemy that seeks your soul. And the blood is applied to the sins of your fathers and the sin that you have committed to restore your soul and to restore the fragments of your mind. Right, Mother? Anything to add?
Absolutely, and that's where deliverance can tie so much into that, because we've been tainted, because the curses from our ancestors have been passed down to us, and some we have renewed over and over and over again, every generation since them. So in deliverance, you can get deep enough and into the place enough where you can know exactly some of the things that your ancestors did and start dealing with that, dealing with how it affects your character and your nature and how it has passed down to you. How, I know we see, you know, kind of the superficial part where, you know, okay, my mother had asthma, this one now, my son's got asthma, all that, things like that. But really getting on a deeper level to try to see where the quality of your spirit is, by why do I act this way? Why is my character, why is my nature this way? Not just, oh, she's just like her mother or she's just like her father, because usually, like Pastor has said before, it's usually said in something wicked. However, in deliverance, you can, through the steps we're going to talk about today, you can actually get to a place where Yah can reveal to you some of your ancestry, whether it be slavery, whether it be Native American, false god worship, anything like that. Yah can reveal those things to you so that you can get to a place where you have completely severed, not just touching the surface, but completely severed the characters and the natures and the sin that has been passed down.
Absolutely. Psalm 7:2 again, lest he tear my soul like a lion, lest he tear my mind, lest he tear my mind like a lion rending it in pieces. Do you know what that is like? Do you know what that experience is like? That's Satan persecuting your soul, trying to take it. That would be his great honor to do so. And the enemy of our soul attacks us in the unseen mind. You know, what you can't see and the emotions inside of you, which you've already talked about. You talked about before the show, just briefly, like you said, a statement that you didn't explain to me, but you said putting emotions off on other people. What does that mean? Putting emotions off on someone else. Is that making them to blame for how you feel? Do you recall what you meant?
It can be any of that. It can be even burdening someone with the way that you think. And it could be true. It could be not true. But your emotions can be guided by how you receive things. So if you're putting off on someone, like a wife can do it easily by manipulating her husband with her emotions. So putting your emotions off on someone.
Wanting someone to feel like you feel?
Wanting someone to feel down, to feel burdened, especially if Satan is working in there to bring a person that's spirit is up and bubbly because of their prayer life or their fasting life or their praise life, and to bring that down. So those emotions will try to trigger something to bring that down.
Yes.
Because as humans, a lot of times you want people to feel like you feel. And
that's
something that has to be severed, because
absolutely,
if you're feeling down, you don't want someone else to feel down, but you want someone else to try to help you feel up.
That's a mic drop, because that takes a transformation or even a picking up the pieces of your mind intention.
Yes.
The intention to approach someone for help is not to display your emotional stirring and to get them to manipulate them to feel how you feel.
Yes.
I'm saying the same thing you just said, but there are also ways in our flesh that show proof of the fragmentation. She's already mentioned them, but I will say, by the words we speak and how we receive. And that's the unseen realm. That has to be strengthened, you know. How we receive someone's words and how we receive them without stumbling over their words, without stumbling into pride because they said something, without stumbling into rejection because they said something, you know, without stumbling into offense because they said something. You have to strengthen your mind, and it's a really high, I mean, I'm speaking for myself. I have a really high requirement of love on my life. Like, it's so high as the ceiling, I feel like I can't reach it. And the requirement for love means whatever is presented into your mind by the Ruach is almost unattainable at times until you attain it. And then he raises the bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you stumble into thoughts, you stumble into certain behaviors or ways, and you're stumbling, right? There's a verse that fits that says if there were love that abides with you towards the brethren, if you have love, then there would be no occasion for stumbling. Like if I was really rooted and grounded in love, that means that you could come at me against my brothers and sisters or against Mother Carol. Maybe you're needing help. Maybe you're needing deliverance. Maybe something transpired. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's legit. Maybe it's crooked. Maybe it's terrible. But if I'm rooted in love, there would be no occasion for offense because I'm not waiting to kick you down. I'm not wanting to sever you from the body, you know, and we hear our brothers and men speak this way, but as sisters, we also have to remove that intention from our hearts to disregard someone else, to cut them off, you know. Mother?
Yes, I don't know if I could have said it any better myself, but words, you talked about words. And we know that words are powerful because Yah spoke the world into existence by words. However, he did not design words for us to allow them to chart our mind and our mindset. However, we do. if someone says something about us, it allows us to get upset or to get angry or to have rejection or all of these spirits, and then that's how you receive them. 95% of the spirits you get are from words, what someone said to you, what someone said about you, or all of these things, instead of just charting that differently. If I come to you needing something, I don't want to come in emotion, but I want to come and be able to say, you know, I need help in this area. So we have to be careful, even the words that we present, because we can allow our emotion to affect someone else, not just bring their spirit down, but allow them to not even be able to help us legitimately in deliverance by how we present it, by how we bring it forth, by are we really just seeking love or are we gossiping, you know, things like that. We really have to focus on words and see, am I going to allow this to change who I am as a person? Am I going to allow these words? If it's not the word of Yah, it shouldn't be doing much changing anyway, with the exception of encouragement. So how are you allowing words to fall on you? How are you allowing them to affect you? How are they changing your mind? How are they changing your emotions? Words can be said that can affect you in your body. If someone says something, and it's someone that really maybe is close to you and you feel it or you think they might be upset with you, most people have experienced, I know I've experienced it before, to where your stomach turns. You can't eat. You feel sick to your stomach. It just shows that the mind and body connection is there. So we've got to deal with the source of why we allow these words to penetrate in a negative way.
Well said. You know that line in the song, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand?
All other ground.
You know how to sing that line right there, Mother? Sing it for us.
With my voice.
Right. With a little.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Hallelujah. Anything to say?
No.
Bless you and thank you. On Christ the solid rock I stand. If that really is the declaration of your soul, then that encompasses a very large requirement. If I stand on Christ Jesus,
yes,
and all other ground is sinking sand, then I'm going to stand on Christ Jesus. I'm going to try to make this make sense. I, personally, in my private life, am trying to live clean. I really am trying to be humble. I'm really trying to repent. And I'm not trying to prove myself and live in the pride that I've lived for all these years. I really am. Now, if I'm standing on Christ, a solid rock, then I don't have a stone to throw. And the biggest, largest stone that we can throw is a word. A powerful, penetrating, negative, sarcastic, satanic, demonic, devilish word that is generated from the hate in our minds, the trauma of our past, the negativity and dysfunction of our homes, all the reasons that I spoke negative, you know, all the reasons that I was who I was, and I'm trying to allow Yah to shake me out of it. So if you're standing on Christ Jesus, and you're being healed by him, then you're only wanting healing and closure for everyone else. Right, Mother?
Absolutely.
So the words that we trade even amongst ourselves really proves to all of heaven who can see you and hear you and watch you how much restoration and how much of Christ you really stand on, how much fruit you really bear of him. You can talk it. You really can talk it, but all heaven sees. Mother?
You know, in thinking about words and some of the things that you've spoken, I know oftentimes you will get a word for someone. I'm not saying from Yah. I mean, you will be prompted to, you may not even know that this sister is down or discouraged or downcast, downtrodden, rejected. And you might get prompted in your spirit, give that sister an encouraging word.
Yes.
And how many times do you deny that because maybe you don't like her or some other reason? I can't imagine, but you know, the encouraging words sometimes, if you listen to the Spirit, it's Yah directing you to do that for someone because maybe they have prayed for it. And maybe it needs to come from you and not Susie down the road or not that sister that's always encouraging everybody. It may need to come from you who may not ever be encouraging. So listen to the Spirit as it leads and guides you and directs you even in your words on how you deal with one another.
And if you by nature shut out other women in your life because you're, let's say, introverted or because you are offended or because you are rejected or because you're isolating, because you're withdrawing, because you're refusing fellowship, because whatever your mind may be struggling through, the more you shut out others, you're also shutting out the potential for them to receive a word for you or to do anything for you. You know, how many people do we reject in our lives that could, by love, function in our lives and be a helper unto our faith, you know? I also want to bring up the word failures because failures, depending on your measurement of failure from childhood all the way till now, those failures can directly affect the fragmentation of your mind because it's through those failures that you can never rise above them. Mm-hmm. Or it's through those failures that you can accuse the Father of rejecting you. Or it's through those failures that you develop your social relationships and reject the body. You know, so there's a depth to failure, specifically in our society, because everything is so generated on winning,
yes.
competition and winning. Mother, would you like to speak on failure?
Just allowing failures to dictate and mandate who you are and how you treat others is already a key to the stability of your mind or your soul. How does your soul receive failures? Now, being able to realize, yes, I have failed or I have messed up or I have disappointed those around me and more importantly disappointed Yah. However, from that, what does it produce? If you stay in that mindset, that's what's going to condition your soul, your body, all of these things. But if you can rise above it, but not in pride and arrogancy and not in, well, I don't care that I have failed, yes, let that failure teach you to be strong, to be able to. Maybe that failure was meant there for you as your test so that you can help somebody else. You don't know.
Well said. Failures are impactful to the fragmentation of your mind because they can continually repeat themselves, even if it's years later, mm-hmm. even if it's another place, another state, mm-hmm. another person, another relationship. If you don't get fully restored mm-hmm. and deal with that, the mind in you that sees failure a certain way, mm-hmm. then it's going to remain a fragment. You know, it's going to remain a piece of you that you just haven't had restored. And then next, you brought up the word disappointment because that's natural, you know.
Absolutely.
That's natural. We're going to have disappointments. But let me tell you how impactful they can be because you can have a disappointment that may be menial to you or something that's not even noticed from within you, disappointment of yourself, can manifest itself in great anger towards your children when you see anything like them in you or like you in them. So it can become a bigger thing, you know, and really observing the disappointments that you have, disappointed that someone told you they would do this and didn't, disappointed that you put your faith and hope and trust in this individual and they failed you, disappointment in your husband who promised you he's going to do this, this, and this, and he continually forgets. Doesn't matter how small or large a disappointment is, it can really develop a mind pattern from inside you that is not allowing Yah to restore you without your confessions, you know, without you really truly coming clean in your confessions and owning up to your responsibility in that disappointment. Mother?
Very good. Very good. No,
anything?
Go ahead.
Another one is comparisons, and we know the word says that he who compares himself amongst himself is not wise. And another thing about our society is the continual comparison of the mind, the intellect, the finances, the body image, the structure of your face, the age, the old age, comparing it to the young age. There's a comparison there, obviously, and then there's a comparison from within your own heart, comparing yourself to the righteous, comparing yourself to someone in front of you, comparing yourself to your father and mother. There's an innate desire of human nature to compare yourself, and it can be a detriment. You know, so you have to continually break that down and renounce that and really give that to the Father. These are patterns in your mind. If you've come to the ministry, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 7 year, 10 year, none of that matters if you haven't dealt with these things. Mm-hmm. None of that. Years don't matter. You know, that's how people can come 10, 15, 20, 25 and leave, because you're not bearing the fruit of the Messiah. And my personal goal, truly, in this life, I'm determined to pay back my Creator by exemplifying as much of His fruit as I can. Yep. Not determined by me, not determined by how much I say that I have, but determined by how much He restores my soul, you know, to really be His fruit on earth. That's our goal, right, my sisters, mother?
Absolutely. If you haven't made it a practice to do what the Word says and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, start today. Start today. Get real with the Most High on the condition of your mind, which is your soul, and renew your mind starting now, and get to a place where some of the things won't, well, none of these things will affect you in that manner. So if you haven't made it a practice, start now.
Yes, confessions of your doctrinal and traditional errors in your past. You know, some people will obviously turn from Christmas and turn from Easter and turn from Sunday fellowship and Sunday pork dinners. You'll turn from it, you'll come this way, but you won't confess it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I entreat you to do that, because confessing it with your mouth is a hatred of the thing that you have lived, and not just believing yourself to be clean by changing it or stopping it, you know. We have to exemplify complete hatred of the works of the flesh. The longer you hate something, the more desperation you will have presented before the Father, you know. If you can't get victory over how you feel and your emotion is that powerful and that strong, you can hate it.
Right.
If you can't get free from the rejection you feel because you can't deliver yourself, and you can't get free from the anger that you manifest inside or all these feelings and works of the flesh, you can hate it. You can hate it long enough for the Father to bow His ear at your prayers. You hate it long enough that you have poured out your soul like water before Him, that He may restore your soul and deliver you in that area. And remember to hate it long enough, you know. Don't hate it short. Hate it long enough. You hate it short, you always return to it. Hallelujah, Mother.
And that's one thing you see in a lot of times when people go away from the faith, because us being together is a barometer on keeping you accountable. But if you, the doing is a result of your repentance, not the other way around. You repent, and that's what causes you to make the changes. That's what causes you. You repent for celebrating Christmas, celebrating Easter, all of these pagan holidays. So then that's the result of your repentance and keeping that once you, because you've been forgiven of it, that's what causes you to be able to continue on in it. So making sure that you have the foundations of repentance in a lot of these things, especially things concerning your mind, are key.
Yes, and trauma obviously is a direct effect or a direct result of a broken soul. It could be anything from a traumatic molestation and rape all the way to, you know, traumatic death that you experienced of your loved one, or an experience behind the wheel, driving, you know, being hit, etc. And that's a part of how Satan seeks to tear your and rent your soul, because you don't want to get in a vehicle again. You know, you don't want to drive down that road at that red light because that's where you got hit. You know, you don't want to be a passenger to certain types of drivers. You have too much fear, for example. You don't want to go to the club or near the club and near the streets where you heard gunfire. You know, you don't want to see a man that looks like your father. You know, you don't want to smell the perfume that smells like your mother. You know, you don't want to revisit these things, and that's how the enemy can take advantage of binding you, because you lock up, you know, you freeze subconsciously, physically, and by that flesh locking up, you can't think beyond that lockup to confess, to get free, and it'll repeat itself year after year after year, you know. But by the saving grace of the Most High and by the blood of Jesus Christ, he can bring back these memories and these feelings. That's what you hate, though. That's what the flesh hates. I don't want to revisit something that felt that way. I don't want to think a certain thought, you know, or have a certain rage. I don't want to have an emotion come to the surface that's terrible. I'd like all that to just go away. That's the weakness of the flesh, right? But through the power of the blood and the purge that he does, this stuff comes to the surface. You know, these emotions from within you that you bury come to the surface, and he will make sure that something occurs in your life, in your relationships, and in this faith with another sister, brother, family, friend, whoever, whatever, to make that emotion rise to the surface, because you cried out and you said you wanted to be free. And that's the only way you can be free, is to see it, declare, and confess it, Mother.
Now, I think that's very important on the negativity of the mind, because if you allow these, whether they be thoughts of old, that you allow that are negative to keep coming back up to your mind, or whether they be things that you allow into your ear gate that are fresh and new to enter into your mind, you have to protect and guard against what you allow in, because especially if you know that it's going to affect you in a certain way, if you've dealt with traumas in a certain area, if you've done these things or heard these things, you have to make sure that, one, you're strong enough if you have to hear it, but two, don't allow it to come back up in your mind if you don't have to.
Right, you use the word guard, and Deuteronomy 4:9 says, take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. That keeping of your soul diligently is your requirement. You know, it's my requirement too. And so there are things that you need to know about yourself that you're not strong enough for, strong enough to hear without being bothered by it, strong enough to engage in without your sleep being affected. You know, if you're not strong enough to communicate to someone righteously, then don't communicate until you are. You know, when you guard your soul, you start to know what you can and cannot do, and you don't have a strength about you that I should be able to do anything, hear anything, go anywhere. I should be able to watch every movie. You know, I should be able, right, Mother Carol?
And speaking of that, I was speaking with a sister one day this week. The things that, if you allow too much negativity into your mind, you're going to think on it, you're going to dwell on it. How much time is that taking from your thoughts on the Most High Yah? Did he say, when he said, think on these things, whatsoever is negative, whatsoever is ungodly, whatsoever is gossip, whatsoever is slander? No, he said, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, all of these things, but we don't allow we give ourselves too much leeway in our mind to not think on what he said to think on. So when you're allowing all of this negativity into your mind and into your soul, which is your mind, then that's a reflection. Your spirit can't handle those things. I remember the teaching that Pastor did on the body, the body, soul, and spirit. If we would really think about the connection that they have with one another, we would hopefully keep from allowing so much negativity. Whether it makes you feel weak or makes you seem weak, who cares? Allow your spirit to be able to manifest the power of Yah by not hearing these things.
Sow into the flesh and reap corruption, the word says.
Absolutely.
And sow into the spirit and you reap mercy. You know, that's what she's saying, by applying your ears into all these things. You're going to sow unto your flesh corruption. There's no way you're not going to be impacted by it.
Right.
Hallelujah. And I wanted to bring up a verse that you said at the beginning of the show. You said 1 John. Can you read that? Because I'm still reflecting really on how hell-bent Satan is to destroy and to take your soul and to keep the fragments of your mind, and how hell-bent he is to truly rent and tear you and make you his. You know, to torment you. Mother, what is it we're going to? 1 John
2:15.
Excuse me, 2:15. All right, read it.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride of riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away. But those who did not, but those that do the will of God abide forever. And I was reading from the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, just to give us a little bit more clarity on these actual spirits that we are given to by our eye gate, our ear gate, all the things that make us love the world, that cause us to loving the world. And I'll go to another scripture here. Give me just a sec. I'm going to go to, in the same version, 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. Hold on. I think I had it marked. Give me just a second. Nope, that's John. Hold on.
I like your Bible. What verse is that one?
2 Corinthians, I said 6, 17, right?
Yes.
Okay. You want to read this one?
Sure. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. It says, what agreement has the temple of Yah, I'm reading 16, what agreement has the temple of Yah with idols? For we are the temple of the living Yah. As Yah said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says Yahweh, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you. I'd like to bring up right there, to come out from among them and be separate.
I knew that's what you were going to bring
up. Of course. That's verse 17. You brought it up. But no. When, you know, I humbly admit that I do believe I would have returned to the world a hundredfold if I had not committed my soul to this land and to the people. Now, I understand how difficult it might be to be away from people, fellowship, or like-minded to try to keep your soul. You know what I mean? Because you don't have... let's say if I wake up every day, day in and day out, and I see someone else that is constantly provoking me to be right or do right, regardless of their righteousness in their flesh, I don't mean that. I'm just saying we're all living together, fallible and flawed, but we're a continual reminder of Yah's saving grace, and we're continually keeping covenant with him. And so that's been a strength to me that I realize some of you don't have. But the best thing is to stay knit, you know, with like-minded people the best way that you have, because I don't know if you understand how important that is for your soul. I don't know if you understand how binding that communication and that relationship can actually be, because that is obviously the first thing, the first notable sign when you want to walk away is to show it by destroying relationships, you know, by not communicating, by not fellowshipping. John says they went out from us because they weren't of us. I understand there's a thousand reasons to go out from amongst us. I understand that you leave Jesus because someone didn't represent Jesus.
Right.
That's the sorrow. I understand that people have even left here because someone else didn't represent Jesus the Christ. But the question always says, did you have the love to endure? That's what we came to do. The committed part of your covenant agreement was to endure. Do you have the love to endure someone else's wrong? See, this is not the way of the world. The world is not going to support love. They're not going to support forgiveness. They're not going to support you striving for one goal and not walking away from it. Why the hell haven't we uprooted this entire ministry and walked away? You know, why are we still here? Oh my gosh, shit has just gone haywire. It's just crazy. Why are we still standing? You know?
Why do we expect it to be any other way?
I don't.
Why would we expect it, if we are really young people, and we are, why would we expect it to be any other way? Why would we think we could tiptoe through the tulips and make it into the kingdom without purging? Purging by fire. Now, for however else that comes, we suffered nothing so far, but there is a time coming where that love for somebody else, well, if somebody did disappoint you and that's the reason why you left a community or left a ministry or something like that, well, where's your love for Yah and your love for your own self and your own soul? Are you that strong to where you can be an island to yourself in your own mind? That, to me, is crazy.
Right. think it not a strange thing when the fiery trial come upon you and the sufferings of Christ Jesus come upon you? Why do we expect anything else? I don't know. I still expect something else. I expect a much better journey and much less endurance. I'm so serious. Every day. Ask me tomorrow. I'll say the same thing. I really hope that there's less endurance today, you know, of myself and anything else going around. But think it not a strange thing when these trials come upon you, the word says. Damn, you must know our flesh that we're going to think it's really strange. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. There's no way folks are going to sign up for this. There's no way. This is a commitment between the Creator and those who He chooses.
Absolutely.
That's it. He's the Absolutely. Keeper of souls. He gets all the glory, and everyone else, you're going to get bundled like tears.
And that endurance comes from you. It comes from within your own self, no matter what you have going on around you. The Most High was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And came to this earth in perfection, dealt with all of our sin, and carried all of our sin in a sinless state. How dare we, is what I say. So our endurance should be the greatest.
All other ground is seeking sand.
All other.
Okay, so let's turn it to a completion of the show to say the actions required out of you, the commitment required out of you, to really pick up the fragments and the pieces of your soul. If this is your intention to, you know, come into this covenant agreement with the Father and really serve Him, and you do that wherever you're at, He may lead you to be with like-minded people. He may lead you to be on a community. He may lead you to travel close to another community. He may do that, but for now, when you're coming into covenant agreement with the Father, there's a responsibility both ways. I remind the Father of His responsibility when I waver because He makes up the hedge for me. If I'm doubting, I need Him to deliver because that's His part of His deal, you know, part of His covenant. And He has always kept His covenant. It's we who waver. So I want you to know that when you come in to this covenant agreement, there's a lot at stake, you know. There's a lot of requirements. And we talk about requirements a lot. But I don't want to overwhelm you with them because you're going to feel the pressure of that already. You know, you're going to feel every day that knowing from within your heart. If you're truly His, then you're going to have to love stronger, push harder, and make great changes and not be mediocre. And to see yourself for who you are and call wickedness, wickedness from within inside you. You know, if you are haughty, say it. I do. You know, if there's pride, say it. I do. Don't look at me as an example. I'm saying this is how you talk to Him. You wonder how to formulate words to Him. How do I dig deep inside myself? There's no way you're going to go through what you're going through now as the whole reed is shaking and you're not sinning somewhere in your heart and mind. Somewhere you're thinking, you know, off, thinking of escape, thinking of a way out, thinking of leaving, thinking of whatever, right? You got to confess these things. Deuteronomy 4:29. If from thence you shall seek Yahweh, basically from the land that He gives you, from the place that you are. If you shall seek Yahweh, your Elohim, and you will find Him. And that's your part of the covenant agreement. You have to find Him. He's not afar off that He can't be reached. And it says, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And so I'm asking you, Mother Carol, as I come off of some of these scriptures, how do you seek with all your soul? And I'm meaning you, not anybody else. You, right now, how are you doing that after all these years?
Seeking is a diligence. I think just knowing who He is not enough for me. It's really having a personal relationship
with Him. Being
with
the people ain't enough? Being on the land ain't enough?
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
You have to have that individual personal relationship. And you mentioned something about requirements. And my mind thinks instead of it being requirements, maybe we should look at it as allowances, privileges, because we're privileged to be able to suffer. I read the writings of Paul. He counted it a blessing to be able to suffer. And all of these things, we're not at that place yet, and we have to get there. But the really seeking is diligently not lying to yourself, diligently not kidding yourself into where you are with Yah, but actually getting there, really seeking Him out.
The law of Yah is perfect, and it converts the soul. So how does the soul, right, the mind, mother, how is your soul converted? And I'm meaning what's hidden inside your heart, what's hidden inside your mind, will not allow certain behaviors, no matter who behaves that way. Because you ain't coming to a perfect people. We're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, not a perfect people, right? Being perfected, yes, that's what I mean. But if these behaviors, right, is persuading your mind, anybody's behavior, anybody's talk, anybody's relationship, anybody the way they dress, anybody what they say, if this is persuading you at all, how are you converting your soul according to the law?
You. Converting your soul, you have to have it within your own self. And you know how if you're close to somebody that, like let's say it's your mother or someone that's a mother figure to you, and she corrects you on something, that's the same way the Holy Spirit will minister to your mind. You may see something. You may even be tempted to do something outside of your conversion, and your Holy Spirit will snatch you back.
Or you may do it, and He may snatch you and correct you.
And, yes, and chastise you.
Yes.
But even in the not allowing you to, I've mentioned before, I don't know how some people are able to get away with the sins that they do, because the Holy Spirit in me, I can't even pick up a paper clip that doesn't, you understand what I'm saying? It's just like I'll get that conviction right away, but that comes with your conversion and how much you put into Him, how much you actually give into your own spirit concerning Him. So I think that's the conversion will keep you from the temptation, will keep you from, and even if you do, you do have a way of escape. However, it will keep you from the condemnation if you do on the converting, just making sure your soul is not lined up with the world. Your mind can't be the same. You can't live the way that you used to live. You can't do the things that you used to do. You can't even have the desire to live like everyone else. It has to be sold out for Yah. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be converted.
Hallelujah. Law converts the soul. The mind is renewed. All right. David said, keep my soul, Yahweh. Keep my soul. That's a request that he would do it because he knew he couldn't. So there's a humility to that, too. Mm-hmm. There's a requirement that you and I speak of even today of, you make sure you do this, do this, do this. That's mm-hmm. on you.
Right.
Yes. But if I'm saying, Father, keep me,
mm-hmm.
yes, there's been times I need the Father to keep me, for real.
Absolutely.
Based on a previous flesh attitude or nature or mind fragmentation that I've had. I need you to keep me
yes.
through this.
And how do you get Him to keep you?
Exactly.
You ask
over
prayer.
And again,
prayer.
And believe.
Prayer.
Yes.
That's what will keep you. You're talking with Him. You're conversing with Him. Your
yes.
relationship with Him through prayer will keep you, because you'll long for that time when you can talk with Him, whether it be in anguish, you've got something going on, or whether it be in uplifting, or even just acknowledging who He is.
Love.
Just keeping your mind stayed upon Him, keeping your relationship talking with Him. If a couple never talks to each other, their relationship is going to get stale and it's going to be distant. And you can't have that distance with Yah. So prayer would be how you would keep yourself.
Psalm 34 says Yah redeems the soul. He redeems the soul. That also takes me back to the beginning where I said that, you know, it's Psalm 7:2. That the enemy would tear our soul like a lion, rending it in pieces. But Psalm 34 is the promise that Yah would redeem the soul, even if it were torn, even if it were broken in pieces, even
yes.
if emotionally you're a wreck,
yes.
and the desperation of your soul, there's misunderstanding, confusion, this trauma, whatever, this experience. First of all, you're acknowledging that your mind is not stable,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you're asking the Father to redeem your soul. But I'm asking you, what comes to your mind with that verse, Psalm 34, the Lord redeems the soul of His servants?
Redeeming. I think of redeeming as me shedding everything that is not like Him that I can. And that I do through deliverance, through repentance. So I know that His forgiveness is what redeems me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, and then I go forth into getting, ridding myself of the fragmented mind, the fragmented soul, all of these things that have me discombobulated and all these things that have me going totally contrary to the mindset that I'm supposed to have. So deliverance is how I redeem myself.
David said in Psalms 35, I humble my soul with fasting and my prayer. So he spoke of his fasting. He spoke
yes.
of humbling his own soul, which means that there's a flesh presented to all of us that would be proud.
Yes.
Because it's by this fast that I humbled myself, a requirement that when I see this pride, perhaps fasting is the answer, that, you know, the cleaning of my soul is on me.
Yes.
So if I'm going to clean my soul from this pride, then I'm going to humble it by fasting. Talk about it. I humble my soul with fasting.
It's exactly as it says. That's how I humble my soul, is with fasting.
Which means you've had pride, Mother?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And to think that I might be able to do something in Yah that I might not have fasted and prayed enough for or about. And then you can take that low road, oh, no, go to someone else for prayer or for deliverance or some of these things. No, I should be able to do that. And through prayer, but my fasting is what humbles my soul enough to know that, yes, Yah's power is greater than anything that I might ever have, anything that I might ever think or anything that I might ever be. I am because of Yah. So that fasting is what humbles me to be able to do the things that I do, to keep myself and to be able to help others.
I like Psalms 42 because David said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. And the remembrance is also a key point, because when you remember certain things, they have a emotional steering wheel,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that will veer you off.
Yes.
I remember this, and I go that way. I remember this, and I go backwards, you know. I remember. So remembrance is a way that the emotions can drive you. And so he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. How do you pour out your soul, Mother?
I pour out my soul a lot through tears, through crying out, through being totally transparent before the Most High, even if that is being it to someone else, even if that is pouring out something of myself to help someone else, it's pouring out, really just confessing all, whether it be something inward or something external, just crying out to the Most High.
A lot of times there's a common pattern of women who are broken, who have fragmented souls, they can't cry. And I know it's a painful truth, but I must say that it is a proud and haughty, hard heart. I had it, you know. And you haven't been broken like you think, because, or you haven't been broken by the Ruach and the Father. You haven't had your train wreck, because you still respond with the self-defense mechanisms inside you, which is to put up a wall of great pride when there's anything in front of you that would cause a tear. That mechanism is so strong, and that wall is so strong that you can't share in the tenderness and the rejoicing and the magnifying of the Most High. You can't relate. You can't really shed tears because you've hardened yourself. So I ask you, in this pattern, and I'm sure there's so many listening that have this internal refusal to shed tears, it's a very dangerous state to be in, and I'm asking you, how would you pour out your soul and even begin to cry?
If you are really upfront with Yah and sorrowful for the things that you've done or the disappointments that you've done towards somebody else, if you really think of the gist of that and how the Most High took all of that from us so that we might be saved, it will cause tears. So in going before the Father, especially if I feel like I'm just at a breaking point in some area in my life, and I feel like I just can't take any more, that Father, I can't do this of my own strength. I have to have you. And in your true sincerity of that, Yah bottles up our tears. So when your heart is really broken, the tears will come.
Yes, and the repentance for not allowing them, And the repentance for the hardness. The world hardens you because nobody cares.
Right.
I mean, if you genuinely ask each of us broken women, you know, I'm talking when I was broken, if you genuinely ask us who's ever comforted you and held you,
mm-hmm.
the answer is probably none.
Right.
Did you have a mother nurture you? No. Did you have a woman ever hold you and love you and give you direction? No. So you can't come from any form of experience on how tender or nurturing you shall be.
Right.
You can't look upon a woman of a feminine and soft nature and say that she's weak because you're hard. So your perspective and your view is skewed, you know. And so there's a lot of barriers that the Father needs to break through. And if we commit our soul to Him, in our covenant agreement to Him, then we are going to produce His fruit in us for His glory. Last scripture is Mary said in Luke, my soul will magnify Yah. What does that mean to you?
Praise. Sheer, utter praise. Not, yes, when everyone's around, but mostly, 95% of the time, when it's just you and Yah, that true, undying love pours out through your praise, through your worship, through your, even tears come through your praise. All of it. Maybe if you can't cry, maybe praise Yah and see if He'll allow those tears to come. If you will allow those tears to come forth through that, but that is a big thing. Most women have not had that tenderness, and it causes hardness because the issues of life get you to that point. But you can ask the Father to soften you in that perspective.
Hallelujah. Mother's got the Bible out. Where are we going?
We are going to Romans chapter 12.
Okay.
Verse 2. Sorry, I have glasses on. But
Romans 12, verse 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm actually, we're going to read it from the New Revised Standard Version as well.
All righty.
Well, we'll just start at the first chapter.
Yes, ma'am.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Yah, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of Yah, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I like that version of it.
Beautiful. Hey, let's end on John 17. Let's go to when the Messiah walked the earth and what He prayed. Especially in reflection to Psalm 7:2. Again, Psalm 7:2, while she pulls that up, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there's none to deliver. And Psalm 7:5 says, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. That was once again just a communication that David was pleading his innocence. But that proves that Satan can tear our soul like a lion. And now let's hear what the Messiah actually prayed for us or for the disciples when He walked the earth.
Okay, this is John 17, verse 11 through 15.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Yeah, I'll let you read it.
It's a shadow in here. Okay. Now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one,
yes,
as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. That's also another Christ-like behavior, that you will sanctify yourself so that others may be sanctified.
Absolutely.
That is how we do it. That is how we clean ourselves. The world's not going to understand how we live, how we speak, how we read, how we interpret. The world's just not going to understand. But you can see in the Messiah's heart as he prayed, went on earth, and he talked about the disciples. You can hear in his heart for the Father to please protect them because their souls will be sifted as wheat. Satan sought to do that.
Absolutely.
Anything to end the show?
And we're visual people, so we do look at each other to see how we carry on in life, to see our holiness and our righteousness, because that encourages us. It encourages me to see Mother Chris and Sister Aya and all these, you know, these beautiful souls, and I could name so many.
Yes.
But it's encouraging to see these beautiful souls that I live around
mm-hmm.
on this land. Even.
Yes, absolutely.
That helps keep me, because I know that I don't ever want to do anything to cause them to stumble.
Right.
So I must keep myself for Yah's people if I say I love Yah.
And if and when you ever did, I'm charged to love, forgive, endure,
absolutely.
Wait, and bear patience.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so, no, I appreciate your conversation. I hope everyone was edified. I think we're finished and wrapping it up. I don't know, as far as the fragmentation, I do want to just, you know, testify and glorify the Father that he has restored my soul and put me back together. I know I even get looked at sometimes like I'm weird. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, I'm cool, I'm chill, I'm at peace, I am forgiving, I'm not moving, I'm just waiting on some things, hallelujah, and when some things happen, you'll know what I'm talking about, hallelujah, I'm waiting
hallelujah.
On the Messiah, I'm waiting on the clouds to part, and
yes.
many other things, but thank you for your conversation, I hope that makes sense to each of you, please pour out your soul like water, and continue to do that, what we mean is specifically with the fragmentation of your mind is to pour out your thoughts like water and to pour out your thoughts as ugly and vile and abominable as they are. That's what you speak to the Father. Hallelujah. And the chat room says, thank you and hallelujah and bless you and much needed to hear. And it says, thank you for the encouraging broadcast. Thank you, much shalom. It was very much needed. Again, both excellent examples, role models. Bless you, Sister Wenda. Thank you so much. Hey, the sooner that we can not see each other according to the flesh. You know, I've often, you guys might hear me say this 1,000 more times until I'm taking off this show, but I've often begged the Father to please remove anything out of me that would keep anybody from hearing him in me. I take that really personal. If you're going to put me up front and on a microphone and you're going to allow other people to hear my voice, I beg you that you would, you know, remove things out of me that would offend your little ones. At the same time, I understand that his word is coming to the world to offend, and so there's that balance, too. But may we all be purrs and lights to one another and be used as iron to grind one another. Let's not hate the process, you know what I mean? It hurts to die.
Absolutely.
Anything else to say?
Bless you, daughters of Zion, and I pray that this was edifying and encouraging to you, and may Yah help us to continue to be used by him.
Can we joke while we both stepped away and coughed? Look, she's about to run out now. We step into the back room. I don't know what this is. It's a little stuffy. It happened to me when I walked into the dining hall facility, too. Every time I went in, I was coughing in there. Outside, I'm good. I know Johanna's got the answer and all her percentages of the humidity. I don't know where you're at, Johanna. Maybe you're listening to this on a repeat, but sure would be nice to type in that info and get that link on that dehumidifier. Is that what it's called? Dehumidifier.
Well,
we live in some thick humidity.
It has gotten very humid, and maybe that has something to do with it. So I have one in my room. I'm going to turn it on tonight.
Turn it on tonight. Oh, bless y'all. Love y'all. Sakina, hit that shofar. May the Most High Yah get glory out of the fruit you produce for him in your life. Shalom.
Shalom.